Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. Now keep in mind while we study this text, we found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. Let's go ahead and read. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. Now, in this particular passage, we find something very interesting concerning the ministry of John the Baptist, and concerning the discovery by Andrew and the other disciple and Simon Peter of the Messiah, somebody they would have been looking for. John the Baptist's purpose in the ministry was to manifest Jesus to Israel. In John chapter 1, verse 31, which we studied yesterday, John said, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, he said in verse 23. His ministry, therefore, would have been a total failure if he had only been able to get disciples for himself. See, Andrew and this other disciple were John's disciples. But if he had only been able to get disciples for himself, he would have been a total failure because his purpose was to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. His purpose was to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness that people should prepare for the Lord. And if he had stopped only with disciples for himself, then he would have been a failure. Preachers should never lose sight of what we've seen here in this text so far. Because there's a temptation to build the work for yourself and not for the Lord. It's easy for people to say, I follow whomever the person may be. I mean, back in the days of Paul the Apostle when he was preaching to the Corinthians, there was a temptation to do that. Paul had to straighten out the church. Some said, I am of Cephas. Some said, I am Apollos. Some said, I am of Paul. Some said, I am of Christ. Why, they were all following men. There's no way in the world that you can separate some of the things that you learned from the man that you taught, that taught you. But if you're limited to only following that man and not eventually coming to the place where you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry is severely, severely weakened, and the man that is training you is, or preaching for you, or that you're following, is a failure. You see, I'm very thankful that God allowed me to train at Pensacola Bible Institute under the ministry of Dr. Ruckman. But had I only followed him, his ministry would be a failure. I had to leave there. I had to get into the Word. I had to end up in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he taught us while we were in school two things that you're going to have to work on diligently for the rest of your life is, number one, your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ, and number two, you're going to have to remember that the authority for everything you do in life, you take here out of here with you, that's a Bible, a King James Bible. And so the ministry is successful when men follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the authority of his words, and a failure when you simply follow the man. Now, there are a lot of very charismatic type leaders today that have big followings, national ministries, international ministries. And the trouble there is those people are following those men and they're not growing close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that wasn't John's problem. John didn't end up with that kind of a problem at all. And the question is, how did John then get his disciples to find the Messiah? Because that's what Simon heard from Andrew. Andrew was John's disciple, but when he ran into the Lord Jesus Christ, he then goes to Peter, and when he gets to Peter, he said, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. They found Jesus Christ. Well, how did John get them to do that? Well, he did two things. And then, based upon what John taught them, they did two things, and we'd all be well to take note of what we're seeing here in the text. Number one, John preached Jesus. Look again in verse 36 and 37. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God," and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. He preached Jesus. He didn't preach himself. You see, any man that inadvertently preaches himself that he has some new revelation. There are people like this all over the place. You hear them on the radio, you hear them on the television, you hear them in their pulpits. They've come up with some new revelation. It's impossible to separate the man from his message, and they end up following the man. John wasn't like that. John was like Paul. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now, Paul had every reason in the world to be exalted in his ministry because God had given him special revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then God also gave Paul a thorn in the flesh, a minister of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. So he preached Jesus Christ, and he preached himself as a servant of Jesus Christ for your sake, for Christ's sake. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 23, Paul said, "We preached Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." He said again in 1 Corinthians 2, 1, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So if you're in the ministry as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you want other people to find the Messiah, to find Jesus Christ, you're going to have to preach Jesus, see? Where these guys get off is they preach all kinds of other revelations. They preach all kinds of other. John could have made a big deal out of preaching his baptism. Now, that was a strange new deal. They preach their strange doctrines, their peculiarities, their depth of faith, their superior knowledge of the Word, instead of preaching Jesus Christ simply. We go through these Bible studies here on the radio. What we're doing simply is we're taking you verse by verse in a topical study of the Word of God. Why is that important? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ and his Word are inseparable. We're lifting up one thing, this book, and the author of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he preached Jesus, and that's how they found the Messiah. "Behold the Lamb of God," he said. Not only did he preach Jesus Christ, he exalted Jesus Christ. Look again in verse 29. He said, when he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He said in verse 36, "Behold the Lamb of God." He exalted Jesus Christ. He put him up there high above everything and everybody and every detail of his ministry. And that's the appropriate place for the Lord Jesus Christ to be, because that's what God has done with Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Acts chapter 5, verse 31, verse 30 for the context, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." God Almighty exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we, as ministers, as preachers, as people trying to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ, why wouldn't we as well exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there are a lot of people, and I'm not being critical here. What I'm trying to do is refine your thinking. Not being critical here, trying to refine your preaching. A lot of people say, "You ought to come to our church. Man, we've got a great music program. You ought to come to our church. We have a great music ministry. You ought to come to our church. We have a great children's program. You ought to come to our church. We have a great youth ministry. You ought to come to our church. We have a great preacher. You ought to come to our church. We have a down-to-earth approach. You ought to come to our church, dot, dot, dot." And you know what happens inadvertently? Because I know you don't mean to do this. What happens inadvertently is you end up exalting your work, your music program, your method of worship, your preacher, your denomination, whatever it may be, and not exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to do that. You may indeed have the best church in town. Well, and God be praised for giving you that. But that is not what we came here to preach, see? We came here to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. If you want people to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, you have to exalt him like God did. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." That's how you get people to find the Messiah. See, if you go along and do what you're doing, you may in fact get people to follow your denominational slant, your doctrinal slant, your method of worship, your preacher. Oh, but if you'll just get them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've succeeded, because that's how they're going to find the Messiah. "Every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." That'll do it. And what was the result, see, of John exalting the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 37, "The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus." There you go. Now, if you were going to follow this example that is laid down for us in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42, to be sure that they found the Messiah, you would encourage those that you preach to do two things that Andrew did. In other words, if you wanted people to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to find him as their Savior, to find the Messiah, first of all, you would preach Jesus, and second, you would exalt Jesus Christ, and then you would take the people who believed on him, who trusted Jesus, to do two things. First of all, and these are things that Andrew did, first of all, you would instruct them to abide with Jesus. Look at verses 38 and 39. They followed Jesus. All right, verse 38. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, wherever Jesus dwelt It was a temporary place. They didn't actually go and find his hometown or, you know, where he was born. He was born in Bethlehem. They didn't find where he was living in the ministry there at Capernaum. He didn't find out where he was raised in Nazareth. He was dwelling in a place that was nearby where he was baptized, because they leave there the next day and go into Galilee, where his ministry was. These guys that followed him were all Galileans, but since Andrew was a disciple of John, they were down with John in the area where John was baptizing at this time. So it wasn't the place where Jesus dwelt that convinced Andrew that they had found the Messiah. It was the fact that they had abided with him or dwelt with him for a period of time. You see what he says there? They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So the first thing that Andrew did after hearing of Jesus Christ is he abode with him. So if you want people to know for sure that they have found the Messiah after you've preached Jesus Christ and exalted him, encourage your people, encourage your converts, encourage the people you know to abide with Jesus, to spend time with Jesus Christ, to get to know him, so that they will know and you will know for sure that you have found God's Son. You see, I don't know, it's so strange. But it seems in most of my lifetime, I don't know how it's been in every generation, but I know how it's been in my lifetime, people get the idea that if they spend an hour in church, they have somehow fulfilled their obligation with the Lord, and then they can go on and live their lives the rest of the way that they want to and conduct their business affairs, their school affairs, their family affairs, without ever giving any regard or thought to the Lord Jesus Christ, or without ever having any fellowship with him. And then they go right back to their routine and pretty much just leave Jesus Christ out of most of their week and then go to church again on Sunday, maybe even twice on Sunday. And so Jesus Christ becomes sort of that feel-good placebo that's taken once a week to just remind you that, in fact, oh, yes, I am on my way to heaven. That's not going to do it. If people are going to be fruitful Christians, Christians that really know they have found the Messiah and actually enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to have to abide with Jesus. And of course, when you do that, a lot of the things that are impossible in this life become very possible for you. Our world is bent on covetousness. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Go out, get all the money you can, spend all the time in your business. And where's Jesus Christ in all of this? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And people are so busy today and so covetous today, they don't have time for the Word of God. To read, to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then he goes on and he says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He says in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so that shall you be my disciples. Look, it's one thing to get people to actually find the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's another thing for them to become fruit-bearing disciples. And in order for that to happen, they're going to have to abide with the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll bear fruit that way. They will be able to do those things which are impossible that way. They'll be able to pray, and God will answer their prayers that way, and God will be glorified that way. What a tremendous thing. You see, the greatest thing that you and I have to do as Christians on this side of glory is have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what John wrote to us about in 1 John, the Epistle of John. He says there in verse 3 of chapter 1 in 1 John, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So if you want to have real good fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and real good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have to spend time in fellowship with him. You'll have to abide with Jesus. And that's what Andrew did, and that's what the other disciple did. They spent some time with Jesus. They didn't just listen to the message and run off and go do their thing. They followed him. They abode with him. They spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if it was that John let them encouraged them to do it, but he certainly let them do it. Listen, they were disciples of John. They had things to do with him. John had a busy ministry, and these guys took off, and instead of staying with John and doing whatever ministry detail John had for them to do, they took off to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and spend the day and evening with him, and that's what John let them do. So, how did John get disciples, his disciples, to find the Messiah? Number one, he preached Jesus. Number two, he exalted Jesus. And number three, he let them abide with Jesus. Listen, it's not important that you spend time in fellowship with me in my church. What's important is that you spend time in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And if that's a good place for you to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, then this is a good place for you to be. All right, and then finally, here's something else that Andrew did that disciples ought to do to help them know for sure that they have found the Messiah. Tell others about him. Tell others about him. Look in verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. You see, it's one thing to preach Jesus. It's another thing to exalt him. It's a third thing to encourage your people to spend time or to abide with Jesus. And then fourth, to be reproductive people. Tell others about him. Reproduce. See, it takes fellowship. It takes reproduction. It takes exaltation. It takes preaching. You put all that thing together in a good package there, and you get you a good disciple there. You get you a man like Andrew, who not only is glad to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but glad to tell others that he knows about him. Immediately, Andrew went and told his brother. Listen, if you want to know for sure that you have found the Messiah, just open up your mouth and tell your siblings, tell your business associates, tell strangers, tell people in your church, tell your children about the Lord Jesus Christ, and let them know that you personally have received him as your Savior. Andrew told his brother Peter, a sibling. Do you have a brother or sister that you can tell about the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, you can tell a stranger, a perfect stranger. In Acts chapter 8, Philip has been doing some preaching, and the Spirit of God moved him to go over and see this eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch, who was under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. In Acts chapter 8, Philip joined himself to the chariot that this eunuch was riding in, and he got in the chariot, and he began to show him out of the book of Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ, and led that Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You'll know for sure you found the Messiah when you open your mouth and tell others about him, because the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, and there's no way you could have become a child of God without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell people in church. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul's writing back to that church at Corinth, that church of God which is at Corinth. And he says in verse 17, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Christ sent him to preach the gospel. You can preach to people in a church. You can preach anywhere, man. Not too long ago when there was a parade on, we went along the parade route and found groups of people nestled in there waiting on the parade to come and just went to those small groups and opened up the Bible and preached a while to let them know about Jesus. I'll tell you what, we finished that exercise, there was no doubt in our mind we'd found the Messiah. And hopefully, through God's Word, others that were there have found the Messiah as well. You can tell your children. Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, his mother, told Timothy, Paul said about the Scriptures, he said that from a child thou hast known the Lord or known salvation through the Scriptures. Now, I've butchered that verse. I'll have to read it to you. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Eventually, Andrew and Peter left everything they had and followed the Lord Jesus Christ after this episode. It's a great thing. So how did John get disciples to know that they had found the Messiah? Well, first of all, he preached Jesus. He said, Behold the Lamb of God. He exalted Jesus Christ, that taketh away the sin of the world, he said. And then allowed them time to abide with Jesus Christ, and then encouraged them to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would say the same thing to you. If you want others to know that they have found the Messiah through your efforts, tell them about Jesus. Don't worry about all the other things you can tell them. Tell them about Jesus. Exalt Jesus Christ. Encourage them to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, to abide with him, and encourage them to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may know the Savior as well. That being reproductive as a Christian, boy, that settles it once and for all in your heart. Now, let me just mention one other thing to you before we depart from this text. Notice that Jesus Christ called Peter Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Many have confused this passage with Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus said, Upon this rock I will build my church. That rock upon which the church is built is Jesus Christ, and this stone is Peter. They are not the same thing, and you need to keep that in mind.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.